All right. Good afternoon. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good afternoon. It is February the 16th, 2024. Beautiful afternoon here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Just finished work. Great day. It is Friday. Came in this morning, sat down, tried to do a podcast, and just wasn't quite feeling it. Happens. It happens. Not that it's the end of the world, but, you know, I do like to be able to sit down and chat, and just wasn't feeling it. So, forgot it, gave it up, and worked all day, and now I'm sort of settled down, and I thought I would try again and see what we can. Well, you know, of course it... You know, I had to have a bunch of shit happen to me today, right? And now I have something to talk about, right? Actually, not much has happened. Just a good day's worth of work, you know. The vibe is now leaving the salon, right? And now it's starting to settle in. Now the fear starts to creep in. And it's starting to consume me a bit, right? You know, I've been doing... when I opened the salon 14 years ago, it was... I want to say it was because I just wanted to improve myself, but I think ego might have had something to do with it, right? You want to be with the big boys, you want to play in the big game, and I definitely wanted to. I remember my buddy Matt helped me and allowed me to do it, and it was great. I've seen many facets of owning the salon. I used to rent two spaces. And I had cut a hole through the wall and connected the two. Had a front desk, had nails, massage, a bunch of hairdressers. It was really cool. Place was jumping. And then over the years, right, 14 years later, we've transitioned into, and it's just me, right, just trying to minimize the inconveniences, I think, is what it comes right down to. Minimizing the inconveniences. And the inconveniences being... You know, dealing with people, right? And I don't mean clients, I mean employees. And not like everyone's been great, but I've had some ups and downs. People have come and gone. And, you know, sort of had settled into this cool idea of just doing chair rental, letting people come and rent a chair, give them a key, run your own little business. It was great. But those days seem to be over too. So what's next for this is to let it go. A buddy of mine is like, you should try to sell it. And I'm like, oh... I don't even fucking bother wanting to sell it, right? I'm just not even into it. I don't even want to deal with that because I know that'll be a thing. And I know my feelings will get hurt or something, right? And so but now I'm like, you know, I got to make a change. I did find a new place to work, which will be great. But then I'm like, wow. And someone's like, oh, you won't be able to get to play the music that you like, right? Because I get to play the music I like. I get to do whatever I want here. It is my salon. I don't have to answer to anybody. I try to play, you know, music that everybody likes. But, you know, and the fact they brought that up isn't even a big deal. But then I was like, well, that's a good point, right? And then all of a sudden I'm like, where am I going to get lunch? It's just all these weird thoughts started creeping in. And, you know, the reality is it'll all work out. It all will work out as long as I am sober and not doing that shit that I used to do. And running on self-will and selfishness and all that shit. You know, it'll all work out one day at a time. And for that, I am absolutely grateful for. But, you know, it is going to be a big change in my life. I am looking forward to it. But, you know, with change comes a little bit of fear.
This is a song by a friend of mine. Try to do it justice. Don't wanna be an actor out upon the stage. Don't wanna be a writer with my thoughts out on the page. Don't wanna be a painter, cause everyone comes to look. Don't wanna be anything where my life's an open book. I dream it's true, but I see it through. If I could be wasting my time with you, don't wanna be a farmer working in the sun, don't wanna be an outlaw always on the run, don't wanna be a climber reaching for the top, don't wanna be anything where I don't know when to start. But I dream it's true, and I see it through. If I could be wasting my time with you.
Wasting my time. I don't think it's been a waste. It's been a great, great time owning a business. I've learned a lot. One of the things I've learned is that I'm not the best at running a business. I am good at showing up, right? I'm good at being a people pleaser. I'm good at doing work. But the other things, the fringy things, the sidebar stuff is where I start to struggle. And, you know, it's... It'll actually be quite a relief to let go of that responsibility and just go and do work and let other people handle the adult stuff. And so I am looking forward to it. It is not fear. It's change. It's inconvenience. You know, I'm starting to have to talk to my clientele about, you know, leaving. You know, there was a time in my life I would absolutely be scared to death to tell people that I am leaving because I'd be afraid that they wouldn't follow me, right? Always have this fear inside that I'm not quite good enough. It's all been a scam, right? I'm just gotten lucky. These people don't really realize how shitty I am, right? These are these kind of old tapes I play. And today I don't feel that way. Today I'm like, you know what? I'm leaving. Follow me if you want. I hope you do. If you don't, I absolutely understand. It'll all be fine. Right. And it will be absolutely fine. I know that. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about some change in my life. I do feel a bit stagnant in my business and in my career. I'm just kind of doing the same thing over. And it's fine. Right. I get paid. I make money. It's all good. Survive. Yada, yada, yada. But it just there's nothing like a big change. Right. And so I am looking forward to it. And it'll all work out. And I'm sure I'm going to discuss it many more times on this podcast. So, you know, but this is all, you know, a buddy of mine sent me a text with another podcast, another sober podcast. Let me see. It is called Calm in the Chaos. That's the title. And the name of the podcast is That Sober Guy Podcast. That Sober Guy Podcast. And Calm in the Chaos. And, you know, I was like, you know, part of me doesn't want to listen to it, right? Part of me, I don't know. I like doing what I do. I don't want to be influenced by people. I don't want to hear another podcast that's really, really good, right? That I'm going to be like, I quit, right? So I'm always skeptical to listen, but I was like, you know what? I'll listen. And it's interesting. A little different take on it. I actually didn't listen to the whole... I didn't actually listen to much because he really got into scripture and religious stuff and Bible stuff. And, right, I'm just... I like it. I appreciate it. I love the guy. Be awesome. I hope, you know, whatever you can do to be a light in someone's life, that's fantastic. I will finish listening to it. I got to give it a little bit of chance. For some reason, it came over on my iTunes, and for some reason it was playing like 2.2 times faster, which was bizarre because he was like talking really fast. And I'm like, is this how this guy talks? But I realized for some reason my speed was up, so I had to back it down. But I'll listen to it. But, you know, it's a different take. So if you want something more scripture-based, more... you know, faith-based, and I shouldn't maybe even say that. If you want a different perspective, check that guy out. right? It's called the Sober Guy Podcast, and it's quieting the, what was it called? Calm in the Chaos. And, you know, I get it, right? Calm in the chaos. And that's sort of what's been going on lately with me, and far as like some of these decisions I'm having to make and a lot of things up in the air. And, you know, in the past, you know, I would torture myself with going out into the future, right? Or into the past and, you know, predicting how it was going to go. And unfortunately, I'm not my greatest fan. So, you know, any predictions I have usually end up in crash and burn or something like that. So, you know, I don't just say, yeah, man, you're going to do this. It's going to be fantastic. I'm always like, you're going to lose all your clients. So I create chaos, or I used to, and I try not to do that today. And I've learned all that in this program, right? All these simple little suggestions. You know, I was thinking about today, getting sober is pretty simple, right? It's pretty easy. If that's what we want to do, if that's what I want to do. But what is interesting is how it evolves, right? It's like a mole. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And you just are like, whoa. And then just when you think you've got it all figured, when you have this whole easy thing figured out, another little thing comes in, you're like, oh, whoa. And so it's always evolving. And that's, I think what's important, at least for me, is to always try to keep my mind open, not close it off. Don't let self get involved. Don't start listening to alternative messages, right? And, but yeah, it's all, you know, things I've gathered in this program, and I'm super grateful for that. You know, I had a phone call today, and this, you know, of course, this is the you know, I'm sober, life's good, everything's good, happy, joyous, and free, bang, 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 one day at a time, doing all my thing, going to meetings, you know, it's all good. But the reality is that it's not all good for everybody, and it, you know, and it's just good for me today. Tomorrow could be different, and that I have to remember as well. But I got a phone call today from a lady who was asking me if I knew a guy, right? And she said his name. I'm going to keep it anonymous. I don't know what the situation is, but she's like, do you know so-and-so? And I was like, I don't think I do. And it was really a random call. I don't even know why I answered the phone, because I didn't recognize the number. It was a different state. And but she's like, do you know so-and-so? And I go, oh, wait a minute. She was sort of saying his full name, and I know him more of as a nickname version of the full name, right? Where like a Tommy, I'm Tom, yada, yada, yada. So I go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she goes, well, he told me that you were his sponsor. And I was like, well, I offered to be a temporary sponsor for him, but, you know, he just wasn't really quite into it, right? He wasn't ready, right? And whether it's good or bad, I pretty much will work with anybody who is willing to work, right? I will participate with anybody that's willing to participate, and I will not get you sober. I had a guy tell me that, you're supposed to get me sober. I said, no. I cannot get you sober. I can share with you the things that I have done. We can do the things that I continue to do together, which is like go to meetings, you know, work with others. But I cannot get you sober, right? I can't hurt your feelings. I can't make you sad. I can't make you happy. And I cannot make you sober. And I don't think he stayed sober, actually. But the point is that, you know, this lady asked, and I said, you know, I tried to work with him, but he just wasn't ready. And so, you know, my phone's always on for him if he ever needs to call me. But, you know, sometimes we have to step back, right? Some people just aren't ready, right? And I am not the person that decides that. It is up to each individual person when they are ready. And when they are, hordes of people would offer to help them, right? We're all waiting. Anybody sober working a program is always waiting to help the next person, as long as they want the help, right? You can only do so much. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make them drink, and that works in this case as well. And so she's like, well, I can't get a hold of him. I can't find him. His daughter's worried about him. His family's worried about him, and he's missing. And I was like, oh, brother. Oh, brother. And she's like, can you go do a welfare check on him? And I was like, oh, of course, right? Of course. But this was this morning at 9:30. I was starting at 10. I couldn't do it. So I called my wife because this guy's actually been over to our house because we did. He came over. We read the big book. We started to try to do some step work. And, you know, like I said, he just wasn't quite ready. But we, you know, my wife met him. He's a great, great guy. Actually came out paddling with us. Excellent, excellent human, right? Just possessed by a devil, right? By a demon. And he got mad at me because I was like, you know, I can't help you. And so fast forward, I asked my wife, I'm like, well, can you go over there and knock on his door and see if he'll answer? And she did, and he did not. And she looked under the mat, and there was a key. I told her, when you get there, FaceTime me, right? And so she FaceTimed me. And he didn't answer, and so she looked under the mat, and she said, there's a key. Should I go in? I go, no. Do not go into that house, right? We are not opening doors. I don't know what's on the other side of that door, whether he's dead, insane, pissed, freaking out. I don't know. But do not open that door. Leave, right? We tried. We knocked. We rang the doorbell. He had one of those Ring cameras. I don't know if he was looking at her. But I'm like, just, you know, get out of there. And so she went to the office and then talked to them. And then so I called his mother and said, I can't get a hold of him. He didn't answer. And I said, you probably need to call the police and have a welfare check. And so she was going to do that. But, you know, it's just a quick reminder to me how fucked up this disease is. How fucked up this disease is. And I made a choice. I didn't want to have that happen to me. I had been down there. I've had welfare checks on me. I remember another person in my life called me and she's like, can you go check on her ex-husband at the time, who was a friend of mine, sort of. And I'm like, you know, doing welfare checks is not fun, right? And so I went over to that guy's house, right? And I'm like, you know, banging on the door, hey, you in there? No answer. Walking around, no answer. So I just opened the front door and looked in, and he's sitting on the couch, surrounded by beer cans and whiskey bottles. And I'm like, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm like, Jesus. I go, your freaking family is looking for you, dude. He's dead. He died. He died. He didn't die that day, but he would die. It's probably been a year and a half now since he passed, and just wrecked the people that had been watching and hoping that he would get better. And I've been in that position. I cannot believe today that I am the person that I am today, because I can tell you there was a time in my life I just had no hope. None. I'd given up. I forget what it is, what it's called when you know you have no hope and you don't care, right? There's a term for it, and I was there. And it is awful. The worst part is that when you're in it, it doesn't seem that fucking bad, right? I couldn't see how bad my life had gotten. I couldn't see how low I had gotten. And it's just, it's brutal. And I cannot tell you how many people I have lost, just people I knew through the program, actual friends that have died because of this disease, whether it was drugs or alcohol or both, right? It is a freaking killer. And it's killed some of my greatest friends. It killed my friend Taylan out in California, killed my friend Scott out in New Mexico. I can say their names now because they're dead, right? I remember a good friend of mine at a meeting that I used to go to at the soup kitchen. Good friend. Talked to him every Monday. How you doing, man? Good, man. Hung himself with a freaking piano wire. Knew another guy. Shot himself in the head. I mean, the death that this freaking disease causes is ridiculous, and it's so sad. And you know, she's like, his daughter's been looking for him, and it just breaks my heart. Just freaking breaks my heart. And so I, you know, it's been sort of a kind of a, not a crummy day, but just I guess a little dose of reality and how freaking lucky I am today that I am sober and that I choose that, right? I don't know why. I don't know why I'm choosing it. Thank you, though. I choose it today. And just so blessed because you know, I don't want to die from this disease. I don't want to die from being an alcoholic. I don't want to die from, you know, overdosing on drugs. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be an alcoholic drug addict in the times we are in. You know, back in when I was, you know, doing drugs, nobody was lacing shit. You know, maybe they would, you'd always hear, oh, they're going to lace it with LSD. And we'd be like, I hope so, right? PCP, I hope so. Even though I can say I never did PCP. You know, I was more like up, down, pot, drink. But the shit that they're putting out there, I would probably be dead because I just did not care what I put into my body. And I would, whoever gave it to me, I would just trust them and take it. And, you know, what a terrible situation that would be today. And so I really hope he's okay. You know, we try, right? We try. And like that song says, you know, sometimes I just feel like we're wasting our time. But the reality is that we don't help people to have success, right? When you become a sponsor for someone, it isn't because you think that you have something that's going to make them get sober, right? We do this to stay sober, right? We help others to keep ourselves sober, right? This is the inconvenience. You know, I was talking to a buddy at the meeting on Wednesday, and he's like, good friend. You know, when I came back to the meeting after the pandemic, he was one of the first people I saw. I was like, what's up, brother? Good seeing you, man. And then he just sort of faded off, and he was back at the meeting this week, and I was like, where have you been? He goes, you know, I was on this medication program, and then all of a sudden I'm off the rails, and now I'm doing this, and I'm shooting this, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, what happened, right? And it just gets you, right? It just freaking gets you. And just when you think you have got this thing figured out, it grabs you. And so, you know, the one thing I say is that, you know, especially when you're trying to help a newcomer, you can't help. All you can do is show them what we do to keep ourselves sober, right? I can't get people sober. And so, you know, I tried, right? I worked with this guy. I tried to show him what I do. You know, people still can't believe that as much, you know, celebrating 15 years and that I still go to 3 to 4 meetings a week, to people are blown away by that. They're like, why? I go, I have to. It's the freaking burden I bear, right? It's my punishment, right? And, you know, the one thing when I was talking to my buddy on Wednesday was that he got into doing a lot of Zoom meetings. And, no, I don't particularly agree with Zoom meetings. I think we should get rid of Zoom meetings. And that's just how I feel, right? I don't think, because Zoom meetings are nice. They're easy. They're convenient. And unless you figure out what really sobriety is about, unless you really start to figure out what... When I started to figure out what my real problem was, is that I'm self-centered, which means I want everything easy, right? Recovery, meetings, continued recovery sucks. It's annoying. It's a pain in the ass. It's inconvenient. It's a bother, right? There are 1,000 things I'd rather do, but I have to do this. And then you have to go back into I get to do this. But the fact is, this is what I have to do. Right, I have to pull myself out of this wonderful world that I have created in my life, and I have to drag my fucking ass over to the meeting and suffer for an hour, right? And then I get to drive home, and I get to hook back up with my family and continue having this wonderful life. But there is an hour that I have to go to a meeting. And to sit in your living room and do a Zoom meeting is bullshit. Bullshit. Now, I guess this is where I go, no, but if that's all you got, that's what you have to do. I guess that is true. But I can tell you what, man, a lot of people got sober before Zoom, right? And you know, we can't forget that if it's easier, if it's better, it's probably not good for us. And Zoom meetings are not really good for us. Does that upset anybody? Probably. I don't care. It's the fucking truth. Get your fucking ass up get in the car and drive to a meeting and be inconvenienced like the rest of us, right? Because that is what it's about, inconvenience. You can't just do Zoom. You have to go to the meetings, and you have to be with other people, and you have to talk, and you have to share. You have to shake hands, and you have to look people in the eye, and you have to get dressed, right? And you have to drive. You have to do all these things. You know, I came into this program, and when I first started going to meetings, I went to a meeting every day. I think I did 120 meetings in 90 days because I had no life. AA was better than what I was doing before. AA was a social event. I had no friends, right? I came into this program with nobody. I started to make friends. I started to see, I remember, just like on the Monday night at the soup kitchen, I would see that guy. He was a good friend of mine. We would talk every freaking Monday. Hey, buddy, what's up, bro? And then he killed himself, right? But that's where I would have my friends, right? Those are the relationships that I had, and I looked forward to it. Like, I would go home and take a shower and get dressed and get ready for the meeting, right? And then we get sober, and then we start to build a life. Right, I said before I came to this meeting with nothing. I got sober. I got an education. I got a wife. We had a child. We had bought a house, and then I picked up and I lost all of it. Right, I came in here losing nothing, got sober, built a life, drank and lost it all. So I've done it. I know what that's like. And so today I know, you know, and now, you know, remarried, have, you know, my other kids, a career, happiness, all this wonderful stuff. I cannot forget that I have to go to a meeting 3 days a week, if not four. I have to take commitments. I have to work with others. I have to speak when asked. I have to show up. You know, a buddy of mine's like, I don't like that meeting. I don't like the way the room smells. Fuck you. Don't fucking talk to me about work. We're worrying about, you know, picking up a drink. If you're so... You know, if these, you know, I can't go because it smells. I can't go because it's too far. I can't go because of the steps or the parking, whatever. Fuck you. You don't get it. Recovery sucks. Getting sober sucks. You know, we have all these people that come to these meetings every night because they have nothing to do, right? This is their social event. Right? They're not going to talk about the steps. They're not going to talk about recovery. They're like, yeah, I just woke up one day and didn't need to pick up a drink, and now I go to fucking seven meetings a week. It's better than what you're doing at home, right? But for me today, I would rather be at home. I enjoy my house. I enjoy my family. I enjoy hanging out, right? Every night, Daddy, do you have to go to a meeting tonight? My daughter says it every time. Daddy, do you have to go to a meeting tonight? And I say, yes, I do. Don't go. Sorry, I'm going. Bye-bye. I have to go. Nobody wants me to go. I mean, they all want me to be sober, and of course they want me to go, but they'd all rather me stayed home, right? And so, but I have to say, sorry, honey, I got to go to a meeting. I don't go as far as to say, do you want me to drink again? But I'm like, this is what I have to do. This is, you know, what I've got to do. And this is what I do. And I go to a meeting, and it's annoying, and it's a pain in the ass, and I would rather not go, but I do it. And when I drive home, I feel awesome. It feels so much better. So, sad day. I hope my buddy's alive, for one. I don't think he's sober, but I hope he's not dead. Because I just cannot stand to lose another friend in this program. And scratching my head going, how come you can't get it and I can? Right? Why you and not me? Why am I able to somehow show up and find this all out and figure it all out and do the work and live? Why me? Why can't this other person do that? And I don't understand. So let me read the Daily Reflections and see what that has to say real quick. And then I'm out. I got to go to a meeting. No, I'm not going to a meeting tonight. It's date night. So I'm going to go out with my wife, but I'll be at a meeting tomorrow night. So February 16th, understanding is the key to right principles and attitudes, and right actions is the key to good living. You got that right, buddy. 12 steps, 12 traditions. There came a time in my program of recovery when the third stanza of the Serenity Prayer, the wisdom to know the difference, became indelibly imprinted in my mind. From that time on, I had to face that ever-present knowledge that my every action word and thought was within or outside. The principles of the program I could no longer hide behind self-rationalization nor behind the insanity of my disease. The only course open to me, if I was to attain a joyous life for myself and subsequently for those I love, was one in which I imposed on myself an effort of commitment, discipline, and responsibility. There it is. I just said that. Ha ha. You got to go to meetings. Fuck Zoom. Go to meetings, help another alcoholic, and you might have a chance. One day at a time. Later.
So if I'm inside your head, don't believe what you might have read. You'll see what I might have said to hear it. Come waste your time with me. Come waste your time with me. Come waste your time with me. Wasting my time with you. If I could be wasting my time with you. So if I'm inside your head, don't believe what you might have read. You'll see what I might have said to hear it. Come waste your time with me. 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 Wasting my time with you.